name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst. I'm going to start with some troubling numbers. But that's not where we're going to end, so don't worry. Today in the United States, the most common mental illness affecting 42.5 million Americans, 18 and older, is anxiety. That's about 19% of the population of the adults in this country. And while it is highly treatable, only about 40% of people suffering with anxiety receive any form of treatment. And at the same time, about 40% of high school students report feelings of sadness or hopelessness. Of those teens, 95% of them will withdraw from friends and family or even career opportunities, and roughly 20 to 30% of them will develop a substance abuse problem. Oftentimes, anxiety and depression lead to self-harm. About 17% of adolescents have at least once purposely injured themselves. And the rates among teenagers is skyrocketing. Hand in hand with these statistics, the third greatest cause of teenage death is currently suicide, just behind accidents and homicides. So those are the sad, hard facts, but that's not all there is. So let's move from there with that as foundation and look forward. But we have to ask ourselves, what is going on here? Why are these rates climbing so dramatically? You know, I looked these rates up about 5 years ago, and then I looked them up again yesterday, and they're about the same or slightly worse than they were 5 years ago. So this seems to be a consistent sort of trend. Certainly in the short term, you can think about the things like the 2 years of isolation in the pandemic, where we saw a huge uptake in these areas, which often isolated people, and they were forced to endure all of this until the pandemic turned into just an endemic illness. But at the same time, we saw wars breaking out. We see shootings. We see schools and churches being attacked. We see the rhetoric from our civic leaders becoming polarized so that winning becomes the currency of the day rather than compromise. These environmental factors certainly have accelerated the rates of anxiety, depression, self-harm. But there's more to it. And this is what today's gospel is trying to address. Today's gospel is a reminder that the fundamental truths are that people, the fundamental truth that people have forgotten, which when restored in our minds will shield us from much of the despair we see in the world. Our Lord starts off this gospel reflecting on the eyes, calling them the lamps of the body. He says, if your eye is sound, your whole body will be filled with light. But if your eye is evil, your whole body will be filled with darkness. And if the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Christ is teaching that how we feel and how we act, who we are, and the state in which we perceive ourselves is all about where we focus our gaze. Do we focus on what we see in the world, on television, on social media, in our schools or workplace? Or do we focus on God? Our Lord makes it clear that we must choose one or the other, because you cannot serve both God and that which is worldly. So much of the emotional distress people feel today is not caused by pandemics or politics or wars or tragedy, but rather because we have chosen to focus our eye on those things rather than our Lord who created us and who loves us. We forget that our first and foremost identity is a child of God, created in His image and likeness. This must be our first identity. More important than father, mother, brother, sister, friend, athlete, musician, scientist, social worker, or any other way we choose to define ourselves. Without that clearly understood self-identity, our eye goes to how the world defines us. The light of our eye is diminished, and our entire body loses illumination and becomes susceptible to despair. Once we understand our primary identity, understanding the way God sees His relationship with us will be clearer. The world sees relationships as superior versus subordinate, as someone who has something versus someone who wants something, as enabler or impediment. But our Lord does not see us in that way. What He sees is His creation, which He loves, and loves without end. When we struggle, He lifts us up. He forgives the failed attempt, and then He encourages the new attempt. When we are lost, He helps us find our way. Though He may give us a cross to bear, we are not alone, because everyone who wishes to follow Christ will have some burden that they will struggle with. I have a cross to bear. You have a cross to bear. My cross may not be a burden for you, and your cross may not be a burden for me, but we do not relatively rank each other's burdens. We do know, however, that God never gives us more than we can handle, though it will require work. He will give us a burden, but He will also give us the tools to carry that burden. He will also never stop loving us, no matter what our burden is, no matter how long we struggle with it, no matter what. For us as a society to overcome these staggering statistics, we must reclaim our birthright as child of God who is unconditionally loved. Christ tells us in this gospel to not be anxious about our lives or what we need. He reminds us that He takes care of all the animals and the plants who have all they need without care. He reminds us how much more precious we are than the animals or the plants. And He reminds us that He already knows our needs and will provide them in His time. Just to be clear, sometimes when people are struggling with serious mental health issues, that first step is to try to reclaim their birthright as children loved by God. But one of the tools the Lord gives us is the entire field of mental health science, especially as practiced by those who are grounded in their Orthodox faith. In his PhD dissertation, Bishop Alexei of Alaska, in 300 pages, shows very high correlations between the practice of cognitive therapy, when it is implemented by those grounded in faith, to the teachings of the early church fathers. God gives us many tools to make our burden light, and we should not be fearful of them. But Christ must be the center of all of it. Some may say that God is not the answer to the challenges we face, to the chaos we endure, to the darkness by which we can sometimes feel pursued. Well, be of good cheer. Just turn to page 1 of the Holy Bible. Right there in the second verse of Genesis, in chapter 1, we read that before God went about all that creating, there was darkness on the face of the deep. Out of His love, the very first act of God was to constrain the darkness and the deep, to remove chaos from the world, which is its natural state without God's intervention, and to replace it with the calm, which is God's love, which overcomes both the darkness and the deep. For those who think the Old Testament God isn't a God of love, don't forget that the act of creation was entirely about love. And if you want an example of what we can accomplish if we keep our eye on Christ and bind our identity to his love, just look at St. Peter walking on the water. Peter should have sunk like a rock, which he was named after. While his eye was on Christ, he conquered the deep and walked upon it as if it were solid. When his eye shifted to the waves and the wind, only then did he begin to sink. But even then, the loving God was there to extend his arm and pull him back to safety. So let us from this day forward keep our eye focused on Christ. Let us commit to allow his light to enter into us and fill our bodies with light which chases out all darkness. And let us remember the final guidance from our Lord in today's gospel. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.